message from former President Trump.
Hello, thank you. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Well, folks, it happened. I got indicted, or as I spell it, indicated. And frankly, it's time that I come clean, admit that I broke the law, and go quietly to prison. April Fools! That was a prank. I was doing a Jim from Office.
He doesn't look much like Trump at all, but he has the absolute perfect vocal mannerisms.
Well, and then the mannerisms, because, too.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the right voice exactly, and it's certainly not the right face, but he does. It's the rhythm of Trump. It's like he doesn't look much like Trump's body shape, but he walks exactly like him. Like, that's kind of the issue here. So the SNL with Trump, of course, talking about the indictment. Or as he says, the indication. That's funny.
But make no mistake, what the radical left Democrats are doing to me is worse than any crime I've ever committed, and I've committed a lot. Close to 34. Some are saying I'm going to use this indictment to rile up my base so that they give me more money. Not true. Not true. I don't want anything from my base except their love, their votes, perhaps their money. And I need their money more than ever.
I don't know who's writing the lines. I don't know if he's writing his own lines, but it's that kind of weird stream of consciousness self, you know, like violating his own statements. I mean, that is absolutely the kind of the rhythm and the pattern of Trump's speech. So that was Saturday Night Live on Saturday on April Fool's Day. And of course, then Weekend Update was the one where they really got the funny.
Oh my God.
This was, and I have to play the beginning. The opening jokes aren't very good, but you have to hear them because pay attention to the laughter. That's the thing you want to pay attention to. Not so much the jokes, which were not that good, but pay attention to the laughter and the loudness of the laughter, okay?
Weekend Update, I'm Michael Che.
I'm Colin Jost. Well, great news for conservatives. New York is finally cracking down on crime. Former President Donald Trump was indicted for his role in paying hush money to porn star Stormy Daniels, and the trial will be like a Stormy Daniels movie because I'm deeply ashamed at how excited I am to watch it. Trump will reportedly surrender next week, but his lawyer, Joe Tacopina, who Trump definitely calls Joe Tapioca, said that the president will not be put in handcuffs, though he would consider wearing fake breakaway handcuffs and a Superman t-shirt. When Trump surrenders, New York City police will take his official mugshot, which you know is the only thing Trump cares about getting right. I'm sure he's hoping it'll look cool like Frank Sinatra's, but I bet it'll end up closer to Nick Nolte.
All right, so you get that. It's not the jokes, it's the volume of the laughter. And for contrast, listen to how Michael Che does his.
Trump is reportedly being charged with 34 counts of business fraud. Business fraud is also what they call the Trump costume at Spirit Halloween. President Biden on Friday told reporters that he had no comment on Trump's indictment, and then he danced away like the Six Flags guy.
And at this point, you can see, like, Colin Jost looks a little, like, you don't really notice it until the second or third time through.
Right, he looks uncomfortable.
But he does. He looks uncomfortable because, you know, the crowd is roaring for Michael Che, and they're just a couple of random scattered laughs for Colin Jost's joke, which, of course, it goes back to him to do more.
I think, in general, that people might be overreacting to this indictment. Like, an actual headline on CNN yesterday was, "Nothing in American history approaches the tumult of the charging and possible trial and conviction of a former president." A more accurate headline would be, "Man we all knew was criminal, maybe criminal." At this point, it feels like even pro-Trump people have moved on. I mean, I went down to the courthouse today, and I was the only protester there.
You stink!
I told them not to laugh at you, favorite food.
Best prank ever. And the only thing that was bothering me was, like, they didn't all go along with it. So Michael Che came out to the audience before the show and got them to not laugh whenever Colin is going to do his jokes. So to make him feel super awkward and uncomfortable, and there was, you know, a couple of people chuckling, but then the guy who yells out, "You suck!"
"You stink!"
"Oh, you stink, that's right." Like, you never get heckled during the weekend
the news,
update,
yeah.
Right? So as the follow-up to that, he couldn't compose himself. The combination of feeling terrible because he wasn't getting laughs and then finding out that it was because he got pranked, he lost it.
He didn't even know what to say. So funny.
Am I not mic'd? And then I was just like, oh, I just suck.
All right, moving right along. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene.
You're evil.
To come to New York on Tuesday to protest Trump's indictment because apparently it takes her 3 days to put on her Joker makeup. Nah, they'll probably laugh at this next one.
That's the meanest thing you've ever done. I'm covered in sweat. Don't you even dare try now.
That's awesome.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who thinks he's Gaston, but girl, you LeFou. Ron DeSantis, I'm shaking.
Because when you do live performances, you just get accustomed to you can recover from anything. But he managed to find that, like, one thing that there was no recovering from. He just couldn't get back to composure. It was hilarious. It was kind of interesting, too. They did a sketch. The sketch itself wasn't funny, but it was a sketch about the, you know how they have, like, guests will come on Weekend Update to be the interview, and those are usually the worst parts of Weekend Update. And they had somebody on to play Michelangelo's David.
Oh my gosh. I thought that was great.
And it was great because he comes out seemingly naked and he keeps threatening to stand up because, you know, the parts that you can't show on TV are below the table. What I thought was hilarious was the background of the whole sketch is the fact that they're trying to make fun of Florida and this one school in Florida where the parents were upset about, you know, their kids seeing, without having been warned ahead of time, that they'd be seeing a naked man statue with David. And then the funny thing is that SNL, both in the picture it showed of David, which showed above the waistline, and of David during the interview, is they were not showing the thing that they were making fun of, theoretically, Floridians for being unwilling to see. So they were following the rule that they were making fun of, which is, I thought, kind of funny, because if you're going to poke fun at it, you ought to figure... Anyway, it was interesting. Other April Fool's Day. Oh, my God. We had so many local April Fool's Day.
Do you want to talk about yours?
I will. I'll get there. Bailey's Produce and Nursery has a picture of the Jolly Green Giant turned purple.
Oh.
This jolly guy stood tall in front of the market for decades. Generations have gotten used to his nostalgic green color, and after much thought, we decided a makeover was long overdue. It was time to put aside a tired tradition and finally give him a fresh look. We hope you love the new color palette as much as we do. Bailey's a locally owned, and it goes for it and says, hopefully you've read far enough into this post now to remember that today is April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. I personally am a purist. I don't think you should give away. You should never tell people it's April Fool's in the story. You can make it. You make it gradually easier to figure out, so that people feel stupider if they don't. Mm-hmm. But you don't ever give it away in the post. But that was a clever one. Visit Pensacola showed a picture of Pensacola Pier with the beach and a penguin on it. Breaking Emperor Penguin spotted on Pensacola Beach confuses white sand beaches for snow.
Wow,
clever!
I can
like
see that.
Pensacola Vibes. It's coming back after much discussion. The Ferris wheel is coming back. With so much anticipation from no one, we're excited to see this metal atrocity bless us with its beauty once again. You'll even be able to see the new Trader Joe's downtown at the top of the Ferris wheel.
All right.
That's
it's too much.
The Trader
You're
Joe's.
Killing me.
A little bit too much,
I wish.
Yeah. But with pictures of the Ferris wheel from back in the day, of course.
I couldn't afford to ride it then.
Well, yeah. know. It's in Atlanta.
I know.
Get your nostalgia. Navarre Beach Pier. Check this out. A local photographer says he spotted a humpback whale about 100 yards offshore this morning, April 1st, in Gulf Islands National Seashore. And it's got a picture of a tail there for a flipper, whatever you want to call it. April Fool's from Pensacola's Community Bulletin Board. Thieves stole all the tires off the Pensacola Police Department's cars last night at the downtown station. Officers are currently working tirelessly to catch them. Yeah. Oh, and then one that's really not funny, but they did do this one as well. During last night's thunderstorms, because there was storms on Friday, some barges got knocked loose in the bay and slammed in a 3-mile bridge. I looked at it to see if this is just an old date. Unfortunately, the bridge has been damaged in both directions with sections of it missing entirely. It should only take about 3 years to repair, so in the meantime, please revert to using Garcon Point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That just riled up some anger.
Yeah, that brings up some deep feelings. Yeah. And then this one, before I tell you the one we did, April Fool's from Dustin Williams Photography. Breaking Pensacola, Florida news, the Pensacola Beach Ball Water Tower has gone missing. And it's got a photo of the Casino Beach parking lot without a beach ball in it. That's the most impressive thing about this post is the perfect Photoshop removal of the beach ball. Like, you're looking at it and you're like, what's... Oh, there's no water tower here. It's an aerial shot down at the parking lot, and right where the ball's supposed to be, you're like, so I don't know what they did exactly, but it's impressive Photoshop work. I think I can kind of see where they copied and pasted, but it's way beyond my skill level. Anyway, and they, it has just vanished like it was never there. Now, I know you're thinking maybe it just deflated and rolled away, but let's be real. That thing was huge. It's not like someone could just stick it in their back pocket and walk away with it. Where in the world could it have gone? And then it goes on. It's, it's cute. So I give him a little bit of credit for that. There was a couple other ones. We'll share with you later. We had one as well, or I did one. Because I will warn you right now, it's April 3rd. I always do an April Fool's post. But you'll forget by next year. Every single year. Should I tell him now or should I wait till later? Breaking news, graffiti bridge to be removed. FDEP cites paint contamination in nearby Bayou Tahar. In an unexpected development, the problem of preventing truck strikes to the 17th Avenue Graffiti Bridge train trestle is going to be solved for us by an outside party, Florida Department of Environmental Protection. In a press release sent out late Friday evening, it's always impossible, these things, FDEP spokesman Ivan McGillicuddy says work will begin immediately to dismantle and remove the bridge across 17th Avenue. This decision is the result of a 2-year investigation into the contamination caused by paint runoff polluting Bayou Tahar every time a new image is created on the bridge. According to FDEP, this is all part of former Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried's statewide, quote, protect our waterways from graffiti runoff initiative, end quote. One of the only things she did in office that actually made a difference. I was proud of that part. So anyway, investigation done without alerting locals because they'd be concerned about, reciprocity and on and on. Anyway, if you want to read it, it's up on our Facebook page. I'm always fascinated. Because at the very end, I always write them so that if you read it, you can figure it out. It's always supposed to be an April Fool's. You're supposed to be able to figure it out, and it's supposed to be a little bit weird. Like if we reported that, DeSantis announced for president, like that wouldn't be an April Fool's because it's too close to what's actually going to happen. You got to pick something where afterwards you're like, oh man, I should have known that was not true.
Yeah, like when you send the news release to the news department and I'm in there making sweepers and I'm like, wow, okay, no, I was almost writing it up for David, and then
no,
I see smart Alex subject line. I was like, okay, okay, because you go in there and you read news and it's like, what's
process,
going on,
everything straight,
and it's like, oh my god, we just talked to DC, that's not what's happening. Oh my gosh, when did this happen? I thought he had men who cook.
5:24 on News Radio 92.3. Mm-hmm. I'm Andrew McKay.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at nervivehealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Get better health with scientifically proven technology that's not going to the gym, diet supplements, pharmaceuticals, or medical treatment. Hear how OsteoStrong helps many improve bone density, posture, balance, athletic performance, and less joint and back pain. Find out more this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again. Ever.
Good morning, 526 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, it looks like there might be more severe weather on the way for some of those states in the Midwest. At least 30 people were killed in deadly storms over the weekend. They're expecting a possibility of more tornadoes in Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Arkansas, and Texas in the next few days. New York Governor Kathy Hochul offering to send in the National Guard. She says state police are also ready for former President Trump's arraignment in Manhattan tomorrow. So far, they say demonstrations near Trump Tower and the Manhattan Criminal Court have been small, but they aren't ruling out crowds growing larger as Trump is expected to arrive in New York today.
And he's leaving at noon today, I think, is what he says on Truth Social anyway.
Right. So. Yeah, I believe so. So we'll have to see what happens there. And President Biden says he's disappointed in what he calls a short-sighted decision by OPEC, oil-producing countries, Saudi Arabia and Russia, among a number of countries that announced a oil production cutback from May until the end of 2023. The Saudi Energy Ministry calling the cutbacks a precautionary measure to keep the oil market stable.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're working on a home project, Pensacola Hardware. I mean, you know, I used to have a boss. He always told me, he said, Andrew, I only ever want you to come ask me my thoughts on something when you're not sure what to do and when you are. Which is a way of saying, like, always ask, you know, because you never know what information you might get. Same thing when you're doing home repairs. Like, you think you know what to do is also a good time to ask when you don't think you know what to do, because in both situations, you know, you might find out what you don't know, and that's the problem and or the advice. And so, you know, a lot of times you go to the hardware store and, you know, you're just hoping to find a person, right? You go to Pensacola Hardware and you're not just going to find people, but people who know the business and know how to do things and can give you advice and input and know the products and the codes and the, you know, like the building codes and the inspectors and like everything connected with it. If that stuff is relevant to you, they know because they have been doing this forever. And, you know, since before the Civil War, they've been in business, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. 1851 is when they opened the doors, and they have been building, rebuilding, and remodeling Pensacola ever since, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware. 437-1620, 437-1620. Interesting article or opinion piece in the paper, PNJ, by Tim Kinsella, the former commanding officer, now retired captain at NAS Pensacola. And the basic gist of it was, and it was kind of interesting because he started off with how, you know, in Ireland, where he's from, in Ireland, the education system was terrible. They didn't even provide free education for, I think it was middle school and high school, if I remember correctly from the article. Like, you think, oh, my God, no, people are paying. Well, sorry, high school. They call it secondary. Anyway, and there was a minister of education who came in and basically publicly announced to the country that they were going to start doing free education for everybody, even though the Irish, you know, the Catholics who oversaw the education system would have said no, and the ruling government would have said no, but he knew it would be so popular that if he just announced it, they couldn't not do it, and that totally revolutionized their system. Now, I don't think that he's saying that Tim Smith is exactly that same way, but he is pointing out that the data seem to support that Tim Smith, Superintendent Smith, has improved the system. And give it a minute, okay? Because Escambia needs something, and going back to the old way of doing things is probably not the right answer for all of this. It's a very interesting piece. You should read it.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. A weather warning for states in the South and Midwest that were pummeled by deadly tornadoes over the weekend. There's more to come.
Meteorologists say people in the Central Plains and Upper Midwest need to brace for more. They are telling folks in Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City, Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma to get ready for more tornadoes, hail, and severe thunderstorms. They also predict major snowstorms from coast to coast.
Fox's Anita Vogel, those storms have killed at least 32. Former President Trump is prepping for his arraignment in New York tomorrow.
Now, Trump is set to arrive at the New York County Criminal Courthouse at 11 o'clock a.m. Several streets surrounding the courthouse are expected to be closed around 1 p.m. as the arraignment is set to begin at 2:15. The Trump campaign put out a statement that the former president will speak tomorrow night.
Fox's Brooke Singman. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. Right now, a tornado watch is active across our listening area, 72 here in Pensacola. Well, students over at Northview High School named the late Kara Santarelli as their prom queen over the weekend. The students also honored their friend with a new mural on Graffiti Bridge. Celebration of Life was held for Kara last week on Pensacola Beach. Santarelli killed in a crash on Highway 29 when her car was hit by a wrong-way driver last month. A century man now convicted on drug and weapon charges. He'll be sentenced later this month. North Escambia reports that Kendrick Jamar Washington was found guilty recently on cocaine trafficking and carrying an unlicensed firearm charges. Prosecutors said that Washington pointed a weapon at his sister and threatened to kill her last June. She filed a report with the sheriff's office over that incident. A teenager in Walton County accused of intentionally driving into oncoming traffic and causing a chain reaction crash. Now, the Florida Highway Patrol says this happened on I-10 last Friday. A 15-year-old from Ponce de Leon was being chased by troopers when she allegedly crossed the median into oncoming traffic. The teen's car hit a pickup truck that was pulling a trailer. Two other vehicles then hit that vehicle. FHP says the teenager was the only person that was hurt in this crash. West Pensacola arcade bar that's been at odds with the county for several months over getting an alcohol permit finally got approval recently. The Grid Arcade now serving beer to the folks who are there playing their nostalgic arcade games. The dispute with the county was over just a few dozen feet. The county said they weren't 1,000 feet from a daycare facility. The last measurement came out to about 950 feet.
There's tons of people out here who are trying to pursue business just like I am. They're having hard times, and they dropped the dreams because they were told no.
And that is the business owner, Daniel Demeter. He pled his case before the Board of Adjustments. Demeter ended up building an extra 30 feet of sidewalk to get approval. He says his business has been growing rapidly ever since. It is 5:33 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It's going to be a nice day throughout the morning with temperatures warming up near 81 degrees in the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms possible through the later half of the day. 50% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm with a low near 72. We're going to stay warm as you go into Tuesday with a high near 80 degrees. Small chance of a stray shower. 10% chance of rain overall. By Tuesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. Stay connected. The Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And again, right now we do have a tornado watch in effect for the listening area. It's 72 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Friday we had a chance to talk to Representative Alex Andrade. He is the state representative for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County and, like, the beachfront, basically, areas of Santa Rosa County. All the waterfront south in both counties. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kenny. Good morning, Andrew, I appreciate you guys having me.
I guess I said all the waterfront's not quite right. It's the beach waterfront, the southern waterfront, not the obviously up by Milton and that kind of an area. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about. Before we get to session, just because you're an attorney, you're a state representative, you're aware of current events, I did want to ask you just like your opinion. President Trump obviously has been indicted in New York, and his attorneys apparently were he's going to surrender for the indictment of the arraignment on Tuesday. But Governor DeSantis has come out and said that, look, we're not going to participate in extradition here. This is ridiculous. What would happen if, you know, former President Trump decided not to go to New York and DeSantis said, we're not going to help? What would happen?
Well, I mean, you essentially have somebody with an active warrant who's incredibly famous, right? So I never see that dynamic happening because I think it would put a lot of people at risk. You have the state of New York, the city of New York. They will not want to look, impotent in not being able to execute on that warrant. Obviously you have, President Trump, who probably would like in the future to be able to go to New York without fear of having a warrant served on him at any minute, So I think it'll be handled professionally. I don't think anybody wants the imagery of like a standoff anywhere or something like that. So I think it'll just be kind of handled. And
I figure the same thing. It's just kind of my brain always wonders the what if, what if this actually got followed through on? A lot of stuff.
No law enforcement officers.
Go ahead.
Could come to Florida. No law enforcement officers could come to Florida. But I think there could become like a federal issue. I think the state of New York could probably try and sue the state of Florida in federal court or something, but I'm not 100% sure on what the basis would be. States do their authority generally ends at their line.
Right.
At their jurisdiction.
Hey, not the same question in any way, but just because this has also, of course, been in the news. We know this horrible massacre, murders that took place in Nashville. And in the wake of that, Senator Rick Scott has proposed a bill that would mandate and fund an armed, either an SRO or a trained security officer that would be armed at every school in America. That part makes perfect sense to me. The interesting wrinkle on that is at all private schools as well, because, of course, this is a private school. And when it comes to mandating for private schools, my understanding is that in Florida, it's only public schools that are required and not private schools. I don't know about charters, frankly. But if a school had a religious character to it and objected, you might run into, of course, religious imposition questions. Is the legislature, have they considered taking up the question of mandating armed guards at also private schools here in Florida?
Not private schools. I can answer so charter schools are required to. Charter schools
they are, okay.
are essentially government schools. But for the private schools, the issue you're going to have is like unintended consequences. Not all private schools look the same. And you can go down the line and you're going to have some private schools in air quotes that are so small that essentially, you know, their issue would have to be like, well, none of our staff want to be guardians, so we have to pay a police officer, a school resource officer, and we can't afford it.
Well, you can make it a size minimum, right? You could say like above 30 students. I mean, just theoretically, but that makes sense too. Okay, go ahead.
But it's not a bad idea. But at the same time, unintended consequences. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act said that no one could carry a firearm on like a school ground. And that meant the churches couldn't have their own private security, like their own kind of security teams for a long time until Representative Williamson and I worked on a bill a few years ago to try and pull that one back.
Right.
So that at least allowed for churches to have their own private security teams. And private schools can do it right now. They have full authority to do it right now. The difference between private schools and public schools is that, you know, public schools can get that authority. And they also depend on direct funding from the state. So we, you know, had to provide that authority, provide that plan for a guardian or an SRO, and also provide some funding for it in categorical.
Yeah, and I start to feel reluctant about almost imposing any requirements on private schools, especially if they're religious private schools. So I see those kind of concerns as well. That's all very fair. The legislature, Alex, sent off to Governor DeSantis to sign the bill that would allow for concealed carry without a permit, as long as you are eligible under the same criteria as it would be to get a permit. But he was asked yesterday at an event whether he would call a special session to look for a genuine open carry where you would have no permit and you'd be able to carry, for example, in a holster on your hip or something like that. He said yes if he can get the votes. Do you anticipate that happening after session this year?
I have no idea. Open carry is something that, it's something I would support. Whether or not the rest of the legislature would is not something I've taken a poll on. I'd be perfectly fine with open carry. It would be my preferred option, but I've never polled it, so I have no idea.
All right, fair enough. And I forget where we are on the death penalty changes. They're about to be ratified and sent to the governor, or they have been sent. I can't remember. So you tell me. But also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, the death penalty changes are being taken up in the House Judiciary Committee today on the House side.
So, okay, so we're not there yet on the House side. Got it. I have concerns about this bill because – number one, I tend to agree with Senator Pizzo, who said that he doesn't like the idea of writing legislation so quickly to change after one incident, obviously the trial of Nicholas Cruz. But sometimes you change law to adapt to a problem in the system. It just seems like 8 is too low. Like 10 makes sense to me, but when you have 3 jurors who don't want to recommend the death penalty, it's hard for me to find a case where I would say, no, we shouldn't care about the votes of 3 jurors and make it just 8. What do you think?
I have a personal, a personal aversion to the death penalty. It has no deterrent effect. It costs state attorneys hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars every year because the due process requirements are so high. And you still run the risk of killing an innocent person. I'm not saying any state attorney should ever not enforce the death penalty. That is the law. They should enforce the law. That is their job. It's the legislature's job to take up the law and try and change it, and the Supreme Court's to interpret the Constitution. But I don't see the value in the death penalty anymore just because the due process protections are so high. It costs millions of dollars to deal with these appeals. You have so many investigators who have to talk to literally almost every single person that defendants ever interacted with in their entire life to meet those due process requirements to protect that person. Who could potentially be innocent, you know, identify mitigating factors about why the person shouldn't be subjected to the death penalty. It's just such a high cost, high intensive issue. And again, you run the risk of potentially killing an innocent person. Life in prison is a far worse punishment. Life in prison is also, a less expensive, it takes less resources to house someone for life in prison who's done an egregious act.
So are you a no on the changes?
No, simply because the option to do away with the death penalty and have that debate is not the option. The option is what's the right policy on the death penalty if the death penalty is going to stay in law in Florida. I don't have an extremely strong opinion. I haven't reviewed the bills yet. I will when they get to the House floor.
Gotcha.
But no, I tend to agree with your analysis, right? You ultimately want to look at what is the right number of jurors of the panel of 12 that you need to feel comfortable that that jury got it right. And you do have to put a lot of faith in that jury. The jury is a representation of society as a whole.
Right.
So coming up with that number, thinking through that is something I haven't thought too deeply about. But I'll be going through that thought process very soon.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you more about that. And finally, yesterday was a little bit lively. You had some conversations about whether getting rid of SNAP benefits to fund soda purchases and, you know, expanding the parental rights bill all the way through higher grade levels and, you know, what is a pronoun? I mean, you had some interesting conversations yesterday on second reading bills that are going to be on third reading again today. Is that right?
We did, yes. So on that expansion of the Parental Rights and Education Act, we had Democrats think that it was an intelligent argument to continue to ask, why isn't pronoun defined in the bill? What is a pronoun? And if you don't know what a pronoun is, we have far bigger issues than you can imagine.
Not to be overly snarky, but I was generally of the impression that pronoun awareness was something that Democrats were better at than Republicans these days. Am I missing something?
Well, yeah, I mean, it really is akin to like the facetiousness of the wordsmithing that they engage in.
I got you.
The same as I don't know the definition of a woman. I'm not a biologist. You know, it's just such a ridiculous premise to say that words have no meaning anymore unless they fit my social view and my world view, my ideology. That if we can't agree on the basic definitions of words, especially words like pronoun or woman, it's very difficult to see where we can find common ground right now.
Yeah, that's look, I know they feel frustrated. You know, they're in the super minority. And they feel frustrated, and so maybe they feel like this is the way they can throw up some chaff and, you know, raise objections. And, you know, when there's nothing you can do, maybe desperation starts to look a little bit weird. But lots of stuff that's going to be on the agenda today for third reading, finally for passage, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more next week. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Are you getting sleep yet, newborn baby? Getting sleep?
I'm getting great sleep. We're very lucky. Gilly's, you know, sleeping through the night. My only gripe right now is that I'm not home nearly enough.
During session, I'm sure that's extra annoying for both you and your wife. Alex Andrade, as always, thank you for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. We look forward to the conversations on the floor and in committee throughout the process.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Most definitely. 5:48 here on News Radio 92.3. And by the way, I did manage to listen to, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours worth of House and Senate floor discussions from late last week. All very interesting stuff. But didn't get a chance to put that together for today. Don't worry, we'll get to it the next day or two. Because it's these bills that keep working their way through, very interesting conversations. So we'll talk about that over the next day or two. If you are thinking about selling your house, you want to get the most money for it, right? And, you know, when the housing market was super hot, I know the thought was, I can just do a for sale by owner. I can get, you know, jacked up money, easy peasy, no problem. And, you know, to some degree, okay, that was right. It was easy to sell houses back then. But at the same time, who was going to get you the most money for your house, right? Well, that's where Christina Leavenworth comes in. Well, now that the market has cooled off, even more valuable to have a realtor who really understands, you know, what's the market doing? What's the demand level? Like, it's the difference between selling now, selling in a long time, or not selling at all, and selling for the right price, because they're just, you know, experts. They have got this figured out, how to get you that right price. And part of the issue is, like, they just take very seriously the idea that every single person, they want to treat like that's their only customer. They want to treat you like you're the only listing they've got and do every little thing for you and make sure that you get the best end result. I know, because I've got all kinds of examples of things. You know, I mean, like, Christina's been in there like painting over nail holes the day before closing on, you know, stuff you wouldn't think, like typically not exactly what you think. She sells 200 homes a year and she's painting spackle. Yeah, because that's what needs to get done. Like, that's the mindset, is we're just going to do whatever it takes. So if you want that personalized attention that really shows up in the results, selling or buying, by the way, 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4, so you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest and will be discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's tomorrow morning at 10, as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run.
I detect a note of mockery in the way you're referring to this song by Irish treasured icon Enya.
Is she Irish?
Yeah.
You can't understand a dang word she says.
Because it's Irish.
Oh. Oh, it's okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, see. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. I seriously need you to step up your respect for Enya right now, okay? This is bothering
me. I'm gonna river dance while I do it.
I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News.
I'll do it, too.
That was one of my, like, oh, my God, back in the day, you know, when I'd go to sleep to, like, a soundtrack or to music of some kind before I was smart enough to realize that a fan is the way to go.
Okay, same.
No, fans are fantastic. Yeah.
I used to listen to Kenny G.
Yeah, Enya.
I didn't mean to say that out loud.
The Cure, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. And
great album.
And Passion, the soundtrack from Passion of the Christ by Last Temptation of Christ by Peter Gabriel.
Oh, right. Right.
Best ever to fall asleep to. I don't know. I'm weird. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The State Department says Secretary Antony Blinken spoke with Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov on Sunday. Blinken announced last month that the U.S. presented a serious proposal for the release of Paul Whelan, who's been detained since 2018. Blinken also wants the immediate release of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. Tennessee's governor says he wants to expand a school safety measure to put armed guards at every school across the state after that school shooting last week. Governor Bill Lee's proposal also includes mental health support and penalties for schools with security violations. And looks like both of our Florida teams are out of the NCAA tournament now.
Worst news ever.
Oh, I know. It's terrible. Looks like the Connecticut Huskies are playing San Diego for the national championship today.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to tell you in advance, this game is going to be terrible tonight.
UConn has nobody.
Yeah, UConn has won, their last five games by double digits. They have been slaughtering everyone. And this game against, which one did they play? They played Miami. It was never close.
You guys are missing the lead.
What's that?
Brent's College?
He's in the finals.
Is San Diego State.
San Diego State, Party School USA.
Tonight.
Aztecs, and they're going to get massacred.
They were a party school?
Oh, yeah,
San Diego State
was always a school that, you know, your friends applied to when you knew they wanted to party. You guys didn't know that way back in the day?
No, anyway, but okay. It's weird that he went there. Yeah.
Had I known, I would have applied.
Oh, and that was, did you watch the Aztecs Owls, the FAU game? That was brutal. So what happened is, here, I got the clips, I'll play it. That was a really good game, okay? Most of the game, you had like San Diego State was ahead a lot. And then finally, FAU gets ahead by a little bit. Under a minute left, they're getting ready to inbound.
They left to use Davis with that dribble drive. They took it away with a counter.
FAU gets the ball inbounds, drives under the basket on the baseline, reverse layup, unbelievable play, and they managed to go up three. So we're like 40 seconds or so to go, and they're up 71-68. And this is one of those cases where it's not like continuous action, like they go back to the other and they call a timeout. But on the inbound, the Aztecs.
They like to run a ball screen and a duck in. Let's see if they do that. Now they're just going right to the elbow.
From the top of the key, jumper in the hole, easy peasy. Okay, 71-70. And then again, what happens is FAU had about a 7-second differential on the clock versus the game. And what was really surprising was San Diego State didn't foul them. Down one. You thought they'd foul so they'd get a better chance to shoot. Because if FAU scores, especially if they score a three, it's all over. Because they were waiting. Well, okay, so FAU gets down, they dribble a little bit, they get to half court, and then they finally call timeout. So with 17 seconds left, they're inbounding, looking to score, to end the game, basically, if they can get a score.
It's Greenlee to inbound, 11 to shoot. It's to Martin,
laying it out.
Then the star tonight, giving it back to Davis.
Misses it.
To shoot, taking on a run, and it's blocked.
Offensive board, San Diego State coming back the other way.
They don't have their scorers on the floor. It's Butler with 2 seconds. He's got to put it up.
Oh, my God. Because what happened is you thought...
A San Diego State miracle.
You thought as he... It looked like it was going to fizzle. Butler had driven kind of into a place where he couldn't take a shot, into the corner sort of off the three-point line. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, it's just going to end. The game's just going to end. They're not even going to get a shot off. He turns around. He goes a little bit to his left. And he just takes his crazy all of a sudden, like Jordan-esque, jump-up shot. And the time expired while the ball is in the air, and it goes in the hole, and the whole place went crazy. And there was a picture on the TV of one guy from FAU that is going to be the meme of the year because it was just one of those, oh, what now? Because they thought they had won. They thought they had won, and they played to such great defense. And then all of a sudden, this shot by Butler, and now the Aztecs are in the final. It was heartbreaking for FAU. But, of course, if you're a San Diego State fan, you're like, best game ever. So anyway, they're just going to get slaughtered tonight by UConn. I can't imagine any other outcome. I mean, UConn, they won by 13, and that wasn't even representative. Like, the game had been 15 to 20 to 25 points through three 30 minutes, basically, of gameplay. So anyway, that'll be to tonight. And the nice thing is it's on regular TV. You know, sometimes, like, the finals or whatever is on ESPN, so if you don't have that, you can't watch it. But it is on CBS tonight, so that'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch on Fast Forward. Unless it's a real game, which I don't expect that it will be. But, you know, you never know. You got to play the actual game. You got to actually win the ball game, is the way they tell me the rules work still these days. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Your home for Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 is News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The teenager that was killed in a crash on Highway 29 last month was elected as prom queen by her friends. We'll have that story and more after this update from Fox News right here on News Radio 92.3.